Let's just clap our hands to the Lord another time this evening. Lord, you are worthy, God. Lord, we magnify your name in this place right now, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your presence, my God. Hallelujah. You can be seated this evening. Praise God. Praise God. Labor Day weekend. The rain is pouring down. Hopefully everybody's basements are staying dry. Amen. It's a serious problem. A lot of people are losing their homes, losing their livelihoods and everything. We need to pray for our communities. Amen. Well, the Lord's been dealing with me the last few weeks on a particular thing. And many of you know that I work for Jim Rivest. He's also with everybody else up at camp for the holiday weekend. But we got the Aldi's account, so we're doing all the remodeling for all the Aldi's stores in the whole state. So my schedule is just like out of nowhere. It just got crazy, you know, working like 16-hour days at times. And these job sites right there, they're insane. You know, none of the other trades really care about any of the other trades. It's commercial work, so it's not like you're going to somebody's basement and you're pulling wire and they're bringing you cookies down there and they're thanking you and everything, you know. Yeah, so, you know, you show up on the job, you know, you work 16 hours the day before, you show up the next day, find out somebody's ripped all your stuff out because they wanted to put their stuff there, and, you know, everybody's stressed out and stuff, so it's hard sometimes, you know, as a Christian man, right, to be in that kind of environment, seriously, and to do what God's called you to do and be what God's called you to be. And I found myself, you know, kind of in the mix of all that over the summer, just getting frustrated. You know, just a lot of stuff just getting frustrated at work. Like, I hate being frustrated and angry, you know, throughout the day at work. I like to be happy and cheerful. And so it kind of spilled over into other areas of my life. You know, you're going, you're hanging out with, you know, my family or hanging out with my friends and this and that. And something's different. You're just like, wow, what is it? Can't put my finger on it. God, you know, where are you? You know, I feel distant from you. You know, and you go up, come to church and trying to pray and pre-service prayer, and you're like, God, what is this? I need to break through this. What is this? And still hearing nothing, and then showing up on the job site on a Monday and walking through, and animosity is high already. You know, everybody's all stressed out, and it's like a million degrees in there because the air conditioners are shut off during the, you know. And just frustrated. And that's when God spoke to me and said, this is where it's spilling over from. You're not shining for me here. And if you're not going to shine for me here where I need you the most, then I'm not going to be who you want me to be and how you want me to be in the other areas of your life, right? And so that was spilling out. And God just really began to deal with me about shining for God. Just being that light no matter what, in whatever situation, you know, taking the high road in every situation. And tonight I'd like to speak for a short time on the topic called to shine. We are called to shine, amen. Matthew 5:14 through 16 reads, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. Darkness is the absence of light. Trying to go after it directly is like trying to chase your own shadow. You're never going to catch up with it. You can't. You can't bag light up and throw it away. Darkness up and throw it away. Only light is powerful enough to make the darkness disappear. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made it clear that we are the light of the world. We are called to shine. But the light that we share is not our own. From the very beginning of creation, God has been the source of light, both spiritually and literally. Genesis 1, 2, and 3 says, "Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Imagine a world full of darkness. Then with four small words, light blazes forth and illuminates all the darkness. Every living thing in our world relies on light for its existence, plants, animals, and people. That the God who brought light to the world also brings light into our lives. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And the best part of all is we don't have to be like little Mr. Lightbulb, the little light bulb that said, "I have to find a way to shine." The light bulb went to a self-help meeting to learn about its inner capacity for light. It read books about how to get brighter, and each morning the little light bulb would get up and recite positive affirmations to itself, possibly in the mirror. "I'm a light bulb," it said. "I believe in myself. I will shine," right? But it never happened. Eventually, the light bulb became weary and discouraged, and it began to doubt who it was and what it could do. It almost burned out completely. Fortunately, one day, the light bulb was carefully placed in a fixture, and light burst forth and filled the room. And the light bulb finally understood, right? The key was not to try harder, but to be plugged into the source of light. Amen. And we have to be plugged in to the source of light that causes us to shine. Trying to shine on our own can be exhausting. Instead, we're simply called to be as closely connected to God as we possibly can be and remain in Him. And when we do, His light pours forth from us into our communities, through us in powerful and brilliant ways, amen, that change the world. Amen. The ways that we shine might not make the news headlines, but they make more of a difference than we could ever possibly imagine. Daniel 12:3 says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Making decisions in the dark can lead to some pretty regrettable consequences. Back in the days, there's a story of an old farmer before the days of electricity, who was asked by his farmhand to come alongside of him through the neighborhood and carry his lantern for him while he went to call on his girl. And the old man replied to the young farmhand, he said, "Why? When I went courting, when I was your age, I never carried a lantern in the dark." And the farmhand looked at him and said, "Yeah, and we've all seen what you got." Right? Some people change their ways when they see the light. Others only when they see the negative results of the choices that they make in the dark. One of the effects that light has is light removes darkness. Light reveals danger. And light illuminates our paths. These things are expected on Christian influence in the world. Darkness has a way of hiding things. It masks imperfection. When you look at something in the dark, you say, "Ah, it doesn't look too bad." You know, that's why the one rule of thumb is that you never go buy a car at night. Yeah, right? Never buy a car at night if you didn't already know that. When the moonlight hits it, you see the pretty paint shining in the moonlight, and you can't see the rusty cab corners and the dings and nicks. But the light reveals flaws and imperfections that are hidden by darkness. I used to work as a detail manager at a detail shop, and we'd be buffing and polishing a car, the chrome, getting it perfect, everything, and you're so proud of it. Awesome. And then you got to take it out to do the light test. And you pull it into the light, and then when the light hits it, it shows all the things that you missed, and you realize you got to come back in, and you got a little bit more work to do. Amen. That's why it's so important that we as Christians are constantly allowing the light of God to shine on us and reveal any possible wrongs and imperfections in our life. We are called to shine. Called to reflect the light of Jesus Christ to the world. That's what the psalmist writes. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me." We should be praying that every morning. "God, search me. Search my heart. Know me. Know my thoughts. What's in me that needs to come out that I need to deal with so that I can continue being the light in the world that you have called me to be, that you have changed my life to be and anointed me to be." John 1:9 says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Amen. Jesus is the real light of the world. In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We are reflected light. We Christians are reflected light. The sun is the source of light, and the moon reflects light from the sun to the earth. Jesus is our source of light, and we are to reflect the light of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Amen. Our lives have to reflect the mindset of God, the will of God, and the heart of God. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God called each and every one of you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's our great pleasure to be able to go into the community and shine for Jesus. Amen. To show the world that what God has done for us and what he can do for them. Amen. It's awesome that this morning we had a guy come to Stoughton, a guy I never would have thought would have come to church in a million years. And lo and behold, there he was Sunday morning in Stoughton. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he was baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We have to always be shining, amen. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and in truth, amen. The light will expose that which is not truth. This is why Jesus tells us to follow him, and why we are told to be holy, amen. And why we are told to do his will and obey his commandments, because we are ambassadors of Christ. We are the Jesus that people will see in the world. Amen. They will base their thoughts about Jesus and about church and about religion on the way that we conduct ourselves every single day and what kind of light we're reflecting. That hit me like a ton of bricks when I was on the job site and being disgruntled and kind of being frustrated about things. And God kind of woke me up and said, you're not shining here. You know, just so simple. You're not shining here. And I had a chew on that over lunch break and be like, I'm not being an ambassador for you. You know, according to all these guys on the job site, I'm just another disgruntled worker that's frustrated on the job. But I'm called to be the light, amen. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we understand that we are reflected light, then it helps us to see why we need to conduct ourselves as Christians 24/7. Also, the further that we get away from the source of light, the dimmer the reflection will be. We need to understand that we are reflected light, and the only way that we can continue to shine to our fullest capacity and continue to reflect that light of God and be the light in this world is to stay as close to the power source as possible, as close to the source of light as possible, as we possibly can, amen, in prayer, in reading, in studying. Amen. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation through fear and trembling. Matthew 5:15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. A city on a hill, on a lamp, in a lampstand. As a Christian, we can't be ashamed of our relationship with God no matter what the situation we're in. Students, when you go to high school, when you go to college, do you hide your light in a book bag when you're at school or in a locker? How about you when you're at work? Do you cover it up with a uniform or leave it in the glove box of your car? Or how about with your friends? Amen. Is your light shining everywhere that you go? It is the duty of the church to stand out. Not for prominence sake or for self-gain, but for the spreading of the gospel. For the spreading of the good news, amen. For hope to all mankind, especially in these last days. There's people literally all over the state of Wisconsin that their lives are literally turned upside down and in turmoil and in ruin. They need somebody to preach to them hope. That their situation that they're in is not the end. That there's so many greater things to focus on and look forward to, amen. Jesus proceeded here to show his hearers why they were given an opportunity to hear and participate in the gospel. It wasn't because of their place of birth. It wasn't because of the way that they looked. It wasn't because of who they were, what clique they were a part of, what their last name was, or how popular or talented they were. No, God was blessing them with the gospel so that they could turn around and bless others. We're blessed with what we hear here and what we feel here and experience here so that we can turn around and bless others. Not just so that we can get through the work week and make it back on Wednesday for a little fix of our Holy Ghost, and then back on Sunday we'll do it all again. But so that we can keep shining for Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an old story about a lighthouse keeper who worked on a rocky stretch of coastline and who received his new supply of oil once a month to keep the light burning. Not far from the shore, he had quite a few guests, and one night a woman from the village begged him for some oil to keep her family warm in their lamps. Another needed to lubricate a wheel in his wheelhouse, and since all the requests seemed legitimate, the lightkeeper tried to please everyone and keep everyone happy, so he gave a little bit to all. Toward the end of the month, he noticed that the supply of oil was becoming very low, and soon it was gone, and the beacon went out. That night, several ships were wrecked, and lives of sailors were lost, and when authorities came to investigate the incidents, the man was very repentant to his excuses, and pleading to their reply was, you were given the oil for one purpose, to keep the light burning. What happened? We can't afford to waste our light. Amen. We are called to shine for all the world to see, and every time that we let something come between us and our purpose, we get dimmer. Every time we put more ambition or focus on the things of this world than we do on God and God's purpose and God's plan and His will for our life, we waste our oil. We waste our oil that we receive here at church. We look at media, and every single year throughout the year, preachers are always talking year after year with all the talk about busyness and distractions. And we talk about media, and we talk about Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. We're always talking about it. And I always keep wondering, why do we talk about this stuff every time? And every time everyone agrees, yep, that's a problem. And we still have to talk about it all the time. I'll let everybody in on a little secret. People used to have healthy and enjoyable lives before Facebook existed. It's true. And there's a shocker, too, that people survived throughout the day without a cell phone. They used to have to come home and check their messages when they got home. You know, and they survived. And they lived. And there's no rule that says that you can't live life without Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or Snapchat or any of this stuff. And you can go to the mall or you can go downtown. I was just downtown last week or so. This was with my wife and Kirby and Brittany, and they had some family members here. So we went down there and we're checking things out, you know, and we're by the lake and it's beautiful. It's nighttime and everything. And you look around and it's just a bunch of people are just sitting there just staring, you know, down at whatever mobile device they have, you know, and they got wires stuck into their heads and the side, you know, earbuds everywhere and stuff, and they're just completely transfixed on their mobile devices. And I'm not preaching against the use of cell phones or iPads. I got one right up here. Amen. I'm not preaching against that stuff. They can be very useful tools. I know they can. But a gun can also be a very useful tool, but when it's abused, it becomes a very dangerous weapon. And too many of us fall into the traps of distraction that are placed in our lives. And I know Christians that spend more time posting pictures of Starbucks Frappuccinos and pictures of the food from their keto diets on Facebook than they do ministering to people in their community. How much time is spent in your life on Snapchat and Pinterest, Instagram, sports, hobbies, YouTube, this and that, etc., versus how much time do you spend in prayer, reading God's Word, applying God's Word, spreading the Word of God in your community, sowing seeds, helping others, teaching Bible studies? We have got to teach more Bible studies, amen. If A is greater than B, then our light is getting dimmer. It's getting dimmer. I was told by a young man one time when I was a youth pastor, when I overheard some of the questionable music that he had on his playlist, I questioned him. I said, "What is this?" And he said, "Well, it's just entertainment, right?" And I was like, "Just entertainment? You're putting this stuff into your mind and into your heart and all day long, constantly, just entertainment. It's not just entertainment." Back when the singer Willow Smith was the age of 12 years old, when she was 12 years old, she was interviewed about a song that she sung. It was controversial at the time. There was a music video out for it, but it was called Summer Fling. And the song was all about casual relationships and sexual intercourse, and you're talking about a 12-year-old. And she replied, well, it's just entertainment. Just entertainment. What are we endorsing? What are we promoting? We need to spend a lot more time thinking about the messages behind the things that we look at and the things that we listen to and the things that we bring into our home, amen, the entertainment. Well, when people look at us outside of the church and they see what we listen to, they see what we watch, they see what we're doing and how we talk and act, are we shining? Are we shining 24/7 or have we already wasted too much oil? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How does the light radiate? Do we go up to somebody and just tell them, hey, I'm a Christian, radiate light? It's not how it happens. Amen. But the light is radiated through our example. It's radiated through our good works and how we conduct ourselves. And it's one thing to hear a message, but it's a whole lot more to see one lived out. You know, you can hear a preacher preach all the time, but when you see somebody living it out in real life, wow, that really gets a hold of people. A newsman, Clarence W. Hall, followed an American troops through Okinawa in 1945. He and his Jeep driver came upon a small town that stood out as a beautiful example of a Christian community. And he wrote down, we had seen other Okinawan villages down at the heels and despairing. By contrast, this one shone like a diamond. Everywhere we were greeted by smiles, dignified bows. Proudly, the old men showed us their spotless homes and their terraced fields and their storehouses and granaries and their sugar mill, Hall said. And he saw no jails, no drunkenness, no turmoil. And while he was in the village, he had led two elderly townspeople to Christ and left them. The story they told him when he was there was there was an American missionary that had come through that town. And when he was there, he had brought two men to Christ and taught them the gospel and left them with literature and left them with portions of Bible. Amen. And they began to lead their fellow villagers and townspeople to Jesus. And so this is what comes out of only a Bible and a couple of old guys who wanted to live like Jesus. Amen. Imagine what can happen in our communities and neighborhoods if we get a hold of something. We say, hey, I've got to spread this. I've got to get the news out. I've got to meet the people that live next to me and tell them about Jesus and tell them why I am the way that I am, why I'm smiling and happy all the time and teach them about God. Amen? Come on. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees on several occasions for attempting to let their own light shine. Matthew 6:1-2. Take heed that ye do not all your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have their glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have their reward. I don't do what I do for the praises of the pats on the back of my fellow peers and other men. Amen. I do what I do every day so that God can be glorified, and hopefully some other people that maybe they're in the same situation that I was in when I was in it, and somebody preached the gospel to me, that maybe something can happen in their lives, and their lives can be changed, and their lives can be affected, and their lives can be changed. Amen. 1 Peter 2:11-12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The proper motive to influence us is not simply that we may be seen, but our Heavenly Father can be seen in us, that we can be a reflection of Jesus Christ and He may be glorified. That everything that we do should glorify God, the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we talk, the way that we conduct ourselves can be a godly reflection of the God that lives in us. Amen. Our light should be a light that is reflected from God across the world and back to God. People need to know that we do what we do for the glory of God. Here's 10 ways that we can let our light shine bright in our lives. Number one, remember that your aim is to please the Lord, not man. If we're living our lives day to day and all we want to do is please God, everything else is going to be just fine. When I first came to church and then I started thinking about ministry and started thinking about preaching and stuff, I was always so terrified to put together a message and preach because of what would everybody think? You know, the elders in the church are going to hear, and how do I minister to them and everybody and this and that? And there'd be like a knot in the pit of my stomach that just almost killed me. I was just terrified, you know. How is this going to sound to everybody? And when I just ditched that one day and said, forget all that. God, what do you want me to say? And I'm just going to put it down and say it. And whatever happens, happens, and you're going to do what you're going to do. Once I started doing that, then everything really started moving forward. Amen. I realized that God could use me in such a greater capacity knowing and believing that. It's not to please man. We're here to please God. Amen. Number two, speak in ways that are right, true, honorable, and trustworthy. We have to be upright and honest in our day-to-day lives. Three, listen to the opinions of others. Be slow to anger and quick to listen. You know, some of the stuff that, and I could preach a whole other message on this, but it's just been driving me nuts. Some of the stuff that I go on Facebook and Christians putting on Facebook, commenting, quarreling back and forth with one another, getting into these heated arguments. What are we doing? Why are we doing that? We're wasting time and energy, bickering back and forth for no good reason. And you know what the saddest part of it is? Is that people who aren't in church and aren't saved are reading all of that and like, wow, those people are saved? And that's what they say? And we got to watch what we allow ourselves to get sucked into on the book, you know. It's easy. You know, somebody posts something and it's like, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever read. I'm going to type something up on that. No, just erase it, delete it, and pray for them. And everyone will be much better off if you just don't do that. Seriously. Number four, decide if others are pulling you into sin, you may need to retreat and bless them through prayer. Right? If you're hanging around with friends who are like, they're my buddies, you know, but they're causing you to do things that are contrary to the word of God or slip, and you're not building each other up, you know, maybe you're going to have to withdraw yourself from some of those relationships and pray for those people, right? Number five, realize that Christ has already determined your value, and now you are free from the need to please others, all right? God's already determined your value. You are an asset to the kingdom of God. So let's just focus on doing the will and the work of God in our lives and in our communities. Amen? Six, authentically praise the name of the Lord whenever we possibly can. Just constantly in a state of worship. One of the things I talked about the last time I spoke in Stoughton was one of the things that stood out to me growing up with my grandfather was that he's always praising God. I mean, the guy had tripped over a 2x4 and hit his head on a wall in his house. I watched him do it when he was building the other side of their house. Smashed his head into a 2x4 and he rolls over and he's like, oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, for what? And he's like, well, I'm not dead. I'm like, okay, that's a good way to look at it. Just praise God. Number seven, pray and pray some more. Amen. Trust that God will lead you in his ways. We always have to stay in a mindset of prayer. A warning went out from the pulpit at Azusa Street that in the last days, the people of God would begin to worship a God that they no longer pray to. That's a very scary thing. Because when you talk to a lot of people and they're honest and open with you, if you talk to them about prayer life, a lot of times it's going to be very non-existent. But it's a lot easier to come into somewhat of an electric environment, and the Spirit of God's moving, and everybody's jumping around and praying. It's easy to worship in that environment, but the commitment and dedication to the day-to-day prayer and seeking and perpetuating that relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we need to focus on that. Amen. Number eight, speak truth no matter what, but balance it with love. It's okay to speak the truth, right? We want to speak the truth, but some people want to speak the truth like this. The truth is in here and they want to bash you over the head with it. Don't do that to people. Speak the truth, but do it with love and understanding. Amen. You'll find that a lot more people will receive what you have to say, even if it seems like it might be harsh because it goes against what they believe, But if you do it out of love, and out of a kind spirit, and out of the right mindset, you're not, you need to hear this, get it, you know? But just out of love, hey, you need this. I need it. We all need it. Amen. You'll find that more people will receive what you have to say. Amen. Praise God. Let me find my place here. Number 9, be who God created you to be, despite how others feel. God created you for a specific purpose. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who God created you to be, and let Him operate in your life in that capacity. Amen? And you'll find that your life is much more easy to live, joyful. You're much more at peace with yourself. If you're just being who God created you to be, but you're just in the will of God. Amen? Number 10, daily immerse yourself in the Word of God. We got to stay constantly in the Word of God. Amen. If we're just always in the Word of God, reading His promises, reading His commandments, applying that to our lives, amen, then we're going to be all right. Amen. If our musicians could come this evening and everybody would stand. Imagine a world without light. Imagine complete and total darkness. No sun, no moon, no stars, no electricity. How would you see? How would you find your way if everything just went black? Amen. How lost would you be? It's easy to take light for granted when it's shining on us, when it's all around and emitting from every fixture in the ceiling. There's a world full of people who are just wandering around aimlessly in darkness, looking for somebody to bring illumination into their life and into their path. Amen. Are you shining this evening? Are you living a life that is a reflection of the light of God? Is God illuminating your life to shine in the world all around you? Amen. Or have you gotten dimmer with time? Amen. I'd just like to open the altars this evening, or the pews everywhere we are. If you just take a moment and find a spot to pray and just do some self-reflection. Just ask yourself, am I shining to my fullest capacity? Am I a 100-watt bulb, but I'm only putting out 60 watts of light? Right? Or is there some things in my life that I need to clean up a little bit? Is there some stuff that I need to maybe remove and give to God? Is there some focus that's being put in the wrong areas where I need to realign my priorities and realign myself with the Word of God so that I can shine brightly and be that bold witness that people need to be in my life? Amen. As the worship singers begin to sing, just find a spot to pray. Just seek God this evening.